The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass on this Friday, April the 13th, 2013. Hope your Friday the 13th is going well for you so far. The program re-airs tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock here on KVOI. Of course, we are live during the week, Monday through Friday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners who support us by prominently displaying our logo with a convenient link to the Buckmaster Show, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, Three Sonorans, Tucson Media Group, that includes Tucson Weekly, and the Inside Tucson Business Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson's mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, is with me, and with me to talk with the mayor. I used to say, with me to question the guest, Sarah.
It sounded very aggressive.
Like a light bulb hanging, you know, from the ceiling, and bring in the next
suspect.
You should see when she does editorial boards.
So, Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, the issue that seems to be at the forefront, we have so much to talk about. Let's delve right into the police and the pay issue right away.
Sure.
I understand. Paul Cunningham was on the show yesterday and indicated there that the police union and the chief had gotten together and were talking.
Yeah, they were talking yesterday. I've got some preliminaries from that. Let me give you a bit of a macro picture. For years and years and years, really since I came on the council over 6 years ago, we've been working to try to get in a more financial, healthy position. And so to do that, just to pay our bills, we really were not able to do a lot for our employees. And quite frankly, the employees are the city. They're the ones that come out and do the service. If they're a police officer, they respond to a call. A fireman, they respond to a call. This is not a problem we're going to be able to fix in 1 year. It's going to take a number of years, and hopefully we keep doing the right things. But for the first time this year, we do have some money, and the proposal in front of us is to give a 2.5% increase to all employees across the board, a $1,000 bonus to all employees at holiday time, and to absorb the increase in health insurance, which we're getting, so that employees don't have to pay any of that. I think it's about 3.9%. So that's a pretty substantial package. But at the same time, we are seeing a increase in loss of police officers. And Chief Magnus did a magnificent job of doing an analysis. And what he found is that we're losing really patrol officers, officers between the ages of 24 and 35. And so his proposal was to, in addition to all of that, to give that class of officers a one-time 5% increase. And we have the money to do that, and we need to do that. You can argue about what the proper number for the force is. I think it's somewhere between 925 and 950. But as of today, we're at about 804, somewhere in that. It changes every day. Well, that's not enough. So not only do we have to retain these officers, and I can tell you, these younger officers, I asked the chief, why are we losing these officers?
Yeah, they're going other places.
Well, but the reason they're going other places is these other departments are offering signing bonuses.
Ooh.
Okay. And, you know, and I will tell you, they're offering signing bonuses disproportionately to women, Hispanic, African-American officers because they're trying to get their diversity numbers up. So we've got to focus on the officers that we want to keep, and we're going to do that. We're also going to, because you can't just, when you don't have enough officers, you have to retain, but you also have to recruit. And we wanted to recruit about 30 in this next class. The chief said, look, we're only really getting about 20. Let's shoot for 20. And so we're going to hopefully continue to add officers every year while we retain them. We're also going to use community service officers. So not certified law enforcement officers with guns, but folks that can go out and answer those calls. Your car gets broken into and someone takes I guess they don't have those anymore in my day, tape deck.
Yes. I knew you were going to say
that. Me too.
You know, I just knew it.
Or took something.
But your backpack. They could
whatever it may be, but it's gone. And it's a violation. It's a personal privacy violation. But for the officers, the chances of catching that person are low. And in the world they live in, which is a much different world, that's a lower priority. But what's not a low priority is to have somebody who's related to the police department come out, take a report, talk to people about what likely happened, who these people are, and how they're going to be kept safe. That's the way we keep the community in a place where they want to be. So I feel good that we're on the right track with our police department. We still have work to do, and that work will take several years.
Let's bring Sarah into the conversation. Sarah?
So you mentioned bringing pay up for a certain group of officers and recruiting new officers. So will the new incoming people be at a higher level to start with, or will there be people who've already received the raise and then people coming in under that?
I think the new people will be coming in at where the current people come in plus the 2.5%. The 5% is going to be for those that have been there 3 years or longer.
So 3 years or longer with TPD, not just experience on the job.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I just wondered, is this the, you also mentioned that there's recruiting going on. How do you do that? How do you reach out when you're saying, the city manager is saying, you know, we're fortunate to get 20 really good candidates. How do you do it?
Yeah, so you post at all the places where, we're hopefully in the Arizona Daily Star, double check. We're online. We go to those places. We deal with a lot of veterans organizations. A lot of our officers are veterans of the armed services. And you just reach out. We go, if there's a job fair in town, I go to a number of them. TPD is always there. And we're just reaching out to people. The academy is a rigorous run. And it needs to be. These young men and women need to be in great shape. They need to be very responsible with firearms. They have to know what they're doing. And they have to have a certain mentality, I guess is the best word I can use. And it really is, you know, people say, well, just go get police officers. If I've got a guy with a uniform and a gun and a badge, those have to be some of our most responsible individuals. And so you get a whole lot of people in a class, but not all of them make it. And so our recent experience is if we can get 20 in a class and then run another class and another class, that's probably likely best we can do.
How about the fire department? Will those people get anything?
So the fire department is a little different. They also are going to get the 2.5%, the $1,000, and we're going to absorb their medical. The fire department has brought to us a similar issue, but we've not seen yet, and there's still time, some of the facts. So when you don't get raises for a number of years and you bring new people on, it does occur that those new people that have been there 3-4 years may be making the same thing as the people that have been there 10-11 years. And that can be discouraging for the longtime people. So we've told fire, look, you're getting this 2.5%, you're getting this $1,000, you're getting this. If you want to do something about what they call compression. Bring us a plan. It has to be approved by the manager. It has to be approved by the council, because we can't do something that in the long run will cost us more money. But so we're going to allow them to do that. That may delay the time for their raise. And so they're having those conversations this week. We will have in the budget that amount of money for them. I'm not sure when we're going to deploy it, because we're still working with them.
All right, we're going to take our break in a minute. But before we take the break, one more topic, just a quick mention. A couple of our listeners had been wondering about, is the city fully backing F-35s coming to town? Has the city made any kind of resolution for future missions at DM, giving a thumbs up?
Yeah, both the city council and the county board of supervisors have passed unanimously resolutions supporting the military bases and the missions that they bring. Just to put a little context on it, because there's a hearing coming up. It's a public hearing. It's really a hearing just for people to comment on the EIS. But
the environmental statement.
Yeah.
Right?
The Air Force has already made the decision to base 144 F-35s at Luke up in Phoenix. And they're looking at four other bases as alternative bases for one squadron of 16. And that could be at Davis-Monthan. They could potentially be at the ANG. But
Air National Guard.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
You're on an acronym roll.
You
know,
this is
exactly
kind of like
right.
a backup squadron of 16 aircraft, right?
Yeah. And you know, the A-10 is going to be here at least until 2030. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. But as a community, our air base is, I think last year, $1.1 billion into our economy. And we have to assure that the Air Force understands that we're willing to accept their missions. And we have to put some faith in the Air Force that they will balance community needs against appropriate missions. And I will tell you, in my experience, that has been the case. And so, yeah, no, that's been the positions of the governments.
Take our break right here. Before we go to our recorded message, I want to tell you about our newest partner. And when it comes to bakery goods, oh my goodness, I am just, well, I've always loved bakery goods. So this is a match made in heaven. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. If you're out and about right now, what about a wonderful sandwich on that freshly baked bread that Steve gets up so early? I think he's like 3 a.m. He's up, gets up, gets to Mona's, does the baking. Anyway, go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to all of our fine partners and to Mona's Danish Bakery.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit toward your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Plus, we'll talk about the new Humane Society of Southern Arizona, their headquarters, now up and running. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, we have a Friday Focus interview, and that is we kind of dig deep into a particular subject, and today it is the city of Tucson. The mayor is here, Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, and with me, Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, do you want to kick things off? We were talking during the break about what the heck's going to happen to the beloved Benedictine Monastery.
So, Mr. Mayor, what is going to happen to the beloved Benedictine Monastery?
Well, let me circle back to a little history, and then we can talk about it. In the early 2000s, the Pima County passed a statute that allowed them more flexibility in zoning requirements so that if they chose, they could do a down zone.
Which means
that if you have a property, so for instance, for a commercial use or an industrial use, you could take it down to a residential use, okay? And the state legislature challenged that, and they lost. The court said, no, the county's within its rights to do that. The state legislature's response was to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot, Proposition 207, which I'm sure was promoted by saying, don't let the government take your property. And it passed by over a 2-to-1 margin. Now, the problem was that when that went into law, whatever zoning was anywhere around any city was frozen at that minimum level. And much of Tucson zoning dates back to the mid-1940s, the early 1950s, where people at the time put down these sort of maximum goals for what a community could look like. And for instance, on 4th Avenue, from the underpass to University, it's all zoned for four-story multi-housing. Same out where the Benedictine Chapel is. So we've had some responses to that, which we can talk about, like the infill incentive district. But out on where the chapel is, really the appropriate thing to have done, because it's such a beautiful building.
Yes, it is.
Is to make it a historic property.
Mm-hmm.
But in Arizona, this may be right, in order to have a historic property, the owners must consent to that. And in this case, the sisters who were living there never had their property designated as a historic property. So a fellow comes along, sees the property, see that it's zoned for multi-family use, and buys the property for $6 million. Well, the neighbors get wind of that, and they go upset. And so, and Councilmember Kozacik, who's ward, gets involved, and the goal is to save the sanctuary, the monastery. And the developer is convinced, yes, I will save the sanctuary and monastery, but I need to find a way to get my money, $6 million, out of this. So he had designed a illustration that looks like a seven-story building on each side of the monastery, and then I think of maybe a five- or six-story building behind it. And I don't know if that's the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds.
I've got it in front of me, and...
It needs some work, Bill, huh?
It really does.
But here's the problem that we face as a council and people need to understand.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the rhetoric, as it often does, is beginning to heat up. And sometimes when that happens, you don't get to a good result. But the developer's saying, look, if you do this, I will save the monastery. If you don't do this, I'm going to sell it to someone else. They'll tear the monastery down and within their zoning put up the multifamily units. So we're really left with a decision that is not going to be a win-win. And the thoughts and the thoughts I'm having, I won't speak to others, is that we need to work with the developer and the architect to make this as aesthetically pleasing as possible, to really maybe get into his numbers a little bit and see if he really needs all that to make a decent return. But it's going to be one that's going to have to play out very carefully, because I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want to see that monastery preserved. And that's a real goal.
Wasn't also part of the neighborhood's concern that it could turn into senior housing or student housing?
Well, yeah. So the first original concern was student housing. And so they came to this. And so now these apartments are supposed to be market rate adult housing, which is a better, for the neighbor's point of view, a better result. But we're still going in. One of the things the city will have to deal with, and you know, we can make things somewhat more difficult, is if you're going to put 800 more people on the corner of 4th and Country Club, there's going to be traffic concerns, there's going to be access concerns, and we do have a right to deal with all that and direct how this is done. But the problem is that's true in a lot of these sensitive places in the city, and 4th Avenue is the other one. So when developers come in and say, we're going to put up housing. They say it's not student housing, but it's
nearby, close enough students would want to live there.
Yeah, students will mainly likely live there. The alternative is that even a higher building can go up there. Now,
how high?
I'm thinking it's 9 there. So,
on 4th Avenue?
Yeah. Empire State Building.
Yeah, but only on that corner. I mean, that was a case where there were over hundreds of meetings. Councilman Kozacik was at probably 99 of them. And it was really, that was a, you know, that was WUNA, that was Armory Park, that was the real strong neighborhood associations negotiating with some developers, and they came to these compromises so that 4th Avenue could be preserved and incentives could be put in place. But they also agree there's some places for density. So
Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Matthew, go ahead. You're with the mayor.
Mr. Mayor, first of all, congratulations on the recent New York Times articles about Tucson, and we just seem to be moving up also in the U.S. News and World Report, as well as Phoenix. Second, regardless of whatever decision is made, I assume that there will be a nice big caveat that says that whoever the developer must immediately designate it a historic landmark, so that you don't go through this again, regardless of whatever gets built.
Yeah, that
as part of the condition. Mm-hmm. I don't want to skip through that because, you know, he may want to. The last thing I was going to say is I checked. I have yet to see that property taxes have been paid on that property. Has he notified the county and that it's no longer a nonprofit? And what is the assessment on the county taxes on that property? I think he's owned it at least for a couple years now.
Okay.
Yeah, as to the historical, so long as we can reach an agreement, they have agreed that it will be a historical property into perpetuity. And that's the real advantage of allowing him to build something else so we can save that property. It's a question what that something else is going to be. And Matt, that's a real good question about the nonprofit and the taxes. We will go back and check. I don't know that he's held it for 2 years, but he's probably had it a year. And yeah, it comes off the books as a for tax purposes once it goes to that basis. And we should check so that we all get our money from the conversion of this property.
All right, I'm going to keep this 5 more minutes, and I've got a couple of quick questions we can get in here. How is the Help for Homeowners initiative doing? And what about new police and fire vehicles and equipment? When are we going to be seeing that? Because the voters said, yeah, we want our law enforcement and fire people to have some good vehicles at least.
We're seeing it. If you see a spiffy, mainly police vehicle, there are a lot of kind of explorer-like looking things. What we did, and I think this is really good, you kind of have to look for it, but we put a pretty large sticker on the back of any new purchase that says, Proposition 101, keep Tucson moving forward.
Kind of branding it.
We're trying to brand it so people can see that.
Okay.
And so we're getting those vehicles in. We've gotten some of the vests in. We've gotten a lot of the fire equipment in, and we're on a specific schedule, and we're meeting that schedule. And this schedule we're going to hit. We've got one person who her entire job is to assure that these things come in on schedule, on time, that they're ordered on time, that the procurement process goes right. I'm pretty confident in this, and this is something we have figured out to do well, and so we will. And then you had a second question.
There was something about a homeowners initiative the last time you were on the program.
Yeah.
You talked about an initiative that lets, it rolls the repairs and upgrades into the cost of the mortgage, and I was just wondering if there was anything new on that.
Yeah, and I would refer anybody to my website, unashamedly.
you and the website.
Yeah, that's it, mayorrothschild.com. But if you go to /homebuyer, there's a new program that does help people fix fixer-uppers and roll the cost of repairs or upgrades into their mortgage. And this is really a good program because in some cases, homes can't qualify for a mortgage until some major repairs are done. And this way, the repairs can be done, the house can qualify, and the home buyer can get the house they want. It's a federal program, and we're encouraging more Tucsonans, especially real estate agents, lenders, and contractors, to learn about it. Because in order to get into this program, each of those levels, you have to work with somebody who's certified and understands the program. Tucson Association of Realtors is now setting a schedule of classes for those folks to be able to get qualified so they can offer this out. In some cities, they're doing 250, 300 homes a year in this
really,
program.
Really, that many?
We did about we did very few last year.
Okay.
Because we didn't have the expertise.
All right. And one quick question about Rio Nuevo. Sure. The extension has come through. I believe it's a 10-year extension.
It is.
Is this a big deal?
I guess there's different perspectives as I'm seeing it. and my perspective is that despite the rhetoric that we sometimes still hear, that the legislature has recognized that this TIF is working appropriately.
Tax increment financing.
Yes. There's another one. I did it again.
Yes,
you did.
You are...
I'm learning my business
there
too well.
Yeah.
But it's the only one in the state, quite frankly.
Is it really?
Yep. In the city of Well, that's why it hasn't been popular. In the city of Atlanta, there's 10 of them.
Really?
Could you imagine what we could do in this city with 10 TIFs? So it's disfavored by that legislature. And I give Fletcher credit. I mean, he went up there and did what he had to do to get what brings additional 10 years of a very unique revenue to our community. It would be nice if certain people who maybe even voted for it would bury a hatchet and really come and look at Tucson and understand who we are and what we do. But I'll be just satisfied with the fact that we did receive the money.
And Matthew mentioned that New York Times article that will be worth its weight in gold. That's fabulous publicity for the city of Tucson.
Yeah, for some reason, the New York Times travel section really likes Tucson, and I'm not going to try to convince them otherwise.
There's a lot of New York Times connections here in Tucson.
Yeah.
A lot of...
Sarah probably taught all of those reporters.
Yes, every single one. No.
All right, Mayor Rothschild, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Enjoy. The weather's going to warm up a little.
Yeah, a little bit, as long as the wind dies down. Sarah will stick around for a few minutes. We've got a couple of top stories, including, of course, the governor on education. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Troops on the border. We'll talk with Sarah right after this.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamie Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Our thanks to the mayor sticking around a little extra there. We had so much to talk about. Sarah, we probably could have done a 3-hour program this afternoon.
Yes, we probably could. Acronym filled.
Yeah, but I think we hit on a couple of the big issues. Certainly people talking about the Benedictine monastery.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big issue here in Tucson. People want to make sure it is preserved and hopefully not hidden by very tall buildings.
Right, right. I mean, you can see how something could be. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
Like Santa Fe, there are not giant tall buildings surrounding it, but, you know, places that are built up, you can see how it could be acceptable. But
and maybe buildings that kind of have kind of that Spanish colonial look that would fit in.
Yeah.
Big story maybe the big story of the year, I don't know, hoping to head off a walkout, Governor Ducey unveiling a plan yesterday that he said will provide teachers the 20% pay hike that they are demanding by the 2020-21 school year. And quite honestly, when I first saw that the teachers, a week or so ago when they put that demand out, when I saw 20%, I'm going, whoa,
right?
You'll be lucky to get a couple of percent, because that's, I'm thinking about the history over the past 30 years for teachers in this state.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, usually in a good year, teachers are getting like maybe 2-3% increase, and with that sort of pace, they realize they're never going to get anything more than just keeping up, but that they're not even keeping up. So I give them a whole heck of a lot of credit for putting the pressure on, and the public pressure, and the governor, making the governor do something. Of course, now we have to see what that something actually is, and if when he says 19 or 20%, it actually will be 19 or 20%, not just restoring money or taking it from another educational pot.
Well, from the governor's point of view, and I don't know what he's thinking, but I could certainly speculate like a lot of other people about what this move entails. It helps him, first of all, avert a strike,
right,
which would have been very messy. We've only got about 6 weeks left in the school year, and schools might have to close or whatever. It would have been messy. And it puts him in a pretty good position in his reelection bid. You have Dr. Garcia and Steve Farley, who on the Democratic side have been certainly making that their number one issue, teacher pay and education. But I think they will probably spin it to the point by saying, well, first of all, why? How did you suddenly come up with this money?
Right.
Where was it before?
Right.
And why did you wait till it took something like the pressure of a strike?
Absolutely. And Kelly Fryer on the Democratic side,
yes.
From the YWCA here in Tucson, is also involved with education is a primary issue. But
she is. Those three candidates, really education's been a kind of a centerpiece for their campaigns.
Absolutely. And I know that Governor Ducey tries to spin himself as the education governor, and he touts that he's increased school funding. Teachers have gotten raises. It was like 2% over 2 years. It was lots of really good talk, and then the details, and that's why I'm cautiously optimistic about this new plan when we see the details, because you can say anything you want. It's what actually ends up happening and what money is where that money comes from. Is that a new revenue source? Because he's not talking about taxes, quite the opposite. So,
but politically, this really commits him.
Right. Politically, I mean, it does.
It does.
But I think the on the Democratic side, they're going to rightly point out that, yes, he did this, but under extreme duress. And it's really, I think, an example of the power that teachers and the public and their supporters and the business community were are a big part of the push for education. And I think it's a testament to that power that we're getting even a talk of a plan.
Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us, editorial page editor and columnist for the state's second largest newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star. And Dustin Williams was on the program, the Pima County Superintendent of Schools. And we had him on when that Red for Ed thing started. People think it's been going on a long time. It's really like 4 weeks ago. So
right.
We had him on the day it started, and we had him on Wednesday, which was another Red for Ed Day, and we were just kind of reflecting how fast that movement spread in this state.
Absolutely. I think it's the product of years and years and years of frustration and pent up just discontent with how teachers are disrespected financially. They're not treated as professionals in the eyes of many in the legislature. And I think that there was just a lot of pent up emotion and drive and purpose and a sense of we can do this. And we've had many protest movements. We've had marches for gun safety. We've had marches for science. We've had the Women's March. I think seeing that sort of outpouring and communal action makes a big difference, and they just blew the lid off of it.
And I was just reflecting, you've really expanded under your tutelage the editorial page. You're getting a lot of different voices now are writing op-ed pieces, and I'm sure you would like to encourage our listeners, if they've got something on their mind, how do they submit that?
Absolutely, Bill, and thank you for mentioning that.
Is there a process for this, or
yeah.
How does it work?
So you can go to tucson.com/opinion, and that will take you to the part of the homepage for tucson.com, which is the Arizona Daily Star's digital presence. You'll find links to submit a guest opinion, which is the column length ones. Those are 500 to 620 words. And everyone is welcome to do that. And then you can also click on submit a letter to the editor. And those are about 160 words. And all of those, unless you're just cussing someone out or libeling someone, will go on online. All of our letters, almost every letter is published online at tucson.com/opinion. And then we select from those some to be published in the print edition. So the way to do it, tucson.com/opinion. And go to the electronic forms. We don't really accept submissions on email anymore. We've really gone to the to the tucson.com/opinion and the links there, because it's easier to keep track of and see everything that's coming in. But I am happy to say that we are flooded with letters.
Good.
And we have a lot of guest opinions, but by far, most of our submissions are from Democratic-leaning people.
Mm.
And I think part of that is just the nature of who lives in Tucson. But
you would encourage anyone,
absolutely,
reach out.
Yes.
Yeah. And a quick plug for Fitz, our friend David Fitzsimmons, has a book signing.
Yes, we have a new book. It's 30 years of Fitz at the Arizona Daily Star. It's hard to believe he's
30 years.
Yeah, ooh. Been here for 30 years.
That's how long I've been in town. Oh, my goodness. And when is that event? What's the venue?
That will be next Saturday, April 21st from 10 to noon at the Loft on Speedway. We're very thrilled to be partnering with them. And what it will be is you can buy his book there. He can sign it. We're also going to be recording our editorial department podcast, which mm-hmm. is called The Point Being. So it'll be a podcast with David Fitzsimmons, Luis Carrasco, who's our editorial writer, and me. So we're going to interview Fitz. We're going to talk about what's going on that week. We'll have Q&A time with the audience. And he's going to do some of his presentation, about 20 minutes. And you can come and see Fitz in the flesh.
All right. Sounds great. Good luck to you, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
All right, 10 minutes now until 1 o'clock on The Buckmaster Show. But if you're listening Saturday morning, it's 10 minutes to 8, because we re-air the Friday program on Saturday morning. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about.
transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time for a road trip, I say. 3-hour drive over to Silver City. And I would suggest a great starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find great places to stay and wonderful tips on recreation ideas, including the Gila National Wilderness. And here's a hint for you, 15 degrees cooler in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great on this windy Weekend Watch today.
Yeah, and you always have some great ideas for what's going on with some of the mixologists in town, and they're coming up with some pretty creative cocktail stuff.
Yeah, you know, another spring cocktail menu has just been released, and it's generating some significant buzz downtown at Oban, that great sushi and ramen place on 4th and Congress. Now, the refreshed list showcases 13 new cocktails inspired by six Asian countries. And here's just a taste. The cocktail called One Night in Bangkok features bruleed papaya, peanut-infused tequila, Thai chilies, and chive oil. Now talk about transporting your taste buds to Thailand. You can also travel to Japan and Cambodia, China, Korea, and Vietnam with distinct cocktails for every country. No need for a passport when you visit Oban this weekend.
Speaking of downtown, anything happening at Lindy's off 4th?
Well, the world-famous 4th Avenue Burger Joint, you just called it, Lindy's on 4th, featured on the Travel Channel a few years ago. They're bringing their behemoth burgers to the far east side in their second location on Tancredi and Catalina Highway called Lindy's Off 4th.
Whoa.
Now, there are no rules at Lindy's, which isn't a surprise with burgers that include toppings from mac and cheese to potato salad to tater tots. This is on the burger bill. There's even a burger that there that weighs 2 kilograms. And if you're doing the math, that's nearly 4.5 pounds.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Go hungry when you check out Lindy's Off 4th.
Do not get on the scale the next morning after that, baby. Taste of Chocolate. Is that happening again this year?
Yeah, a sweet way to wrap up the weekend. The 10th annual Taste of Chocolate, Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Doubletree Reed Park Hotel. It's a chocolate competition where you can be the judge with local chefs showcasing their favorite chocolate creations. There's also going to be raffles with great prizes, wine tastings, beer tastings. Tickets are just $15, with all proceeds benefiting the Rincon Rotary Foundation. I call it Confections for a Cause, Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Taste of Chocolate.
In the column and Inside Tucson Business.
Well, Bill, restaurant owners are always pursuing that happy balance between work and family. But what happens when work and family are one and the same? I actually caught up with the owners of a family-run restaurant who said that happy balance isn't hopeless at all, and his secrets are revealed in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
We will look for it, and keep your hat on as that wind blows through the valley. Thanks, Matt.
There it goes.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Friday, we like to do a couple of quick shout-outs to all the fine people here on our home station, KVOI. And I will begin with the gentleman with the smiling face on the other side of the glass. Ray Allen does such a great job engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. Rosemary Brandt makes sure all of our podcasts get up in a very timely manner. They're usually up at buckmastershow.com. Within an hour or so of the conclusion of our program, and then they go into the archive. All the people here at KVOI, along with Ray, we've got, of course, Jerry Cross, our production manager, the ladies up front. Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this fine local radio station, thank you to them. And don't forget, mic check this afternoon, 4 to 6, Wake Up Tucson Monday morning, 6 to 9, me, Bill Buckmaster, with you. 1204. Have a great weekend.